Welcome to the Sourcing Hero podcast, produced by UNA, a group purchasing organization that empowers sourcing heroes, and Art of Procurement, the world's largest procurement podcast network. I'm your host, Kelly Barner. The goal of the Sourcing Hero podcast is to capture the epic stories of people who are rising up and beating the odds to create exceptional value within procurement, directly from those heroes themselves. Today, my guest on the Sourcing Hero podcast is Scott Gillespie. Scott has been the thought-provoking advisor and innovator for the business travel industry over the last 25 years. He has pioneered concepts such as total cost of travel, traveler friction, and he was A.T. Kearney's global expert on travel sourcing as far back as the 1990s. Now, despite the challenges facing the travel industry today, Scott is a champion of goal-based travel management, justifiable travel, and eradicating traveler friction, not to mention the author of Gillespie's Guide to Travel Innovation. So Scott, thank you so much for being here with me today.
Kelly, it's a pleasure. I'm really looking forward to our conversation.
Now, in the intro, I went through very briefly some of your career milestones, but can you share with us a little bit more about how business travel became your particular area of expertise?
Yeah, sure. I had joined A.T. Kearney back in 1991, I think, right out of business school, right at the time when they were really pioneering, leading the practice of strategic sourcing. And as many of your audience will know, that you break all the sourcing categories into, types of spend. And Kearney had just sold a major money center bank on an enterprise-wide sourcing engagement, and travel was one of the categories in the first wave, and they needed a project manager for that category. I was it, and that's how I cut my teeth on becoming fascinated by the business travel industry.
So usually when we talk to people about, okay, how did you end up in procurement? Nobody was 8 years old being in procurement for Halloween or saying, I want to be in procurement when I grow up. You have sort of a double distinction in that you also fell into your category, which is really interesting.
Yeah, it was kind of love at first sight. I mean, who doesn't like, business travel as a category? I think that's, everyone really enjoys it. It's something we can all relate to. And by the way, we are all professional sourcers of travel. I guarantee you everybody has an opinion as to who should be the preferred supplier in that category. So.
You are absolutely right about that. And I'm sure all those years ago, when you ended up completely connecting with business travel as your category of choice, there was no way you could have looked towards the horizon and predicted what we have experienced over the last 2 years. I mean, I think we've talked about different kinds of supply chain shocks and product shortages and logistics issues, but business travel is one of those spend categories that most of us have just stood back and, even within procurement, from a non-category expert, just thought to ourselves, oh my gosh, right? There's no way we could have necessarily seen coming what we've all been through. As someone who's actually dedicated to this space and who has worked in it for a very long time, how did you look at everything that's happened over the last 2 years? Or what was going through your mind during all this time?
Yeah, so many things, right? But first, probably it was just shock at how quickly companies shut down their business travel. Not all companies, by the way, and some companies really, because their business needed to keep people on the road. But 90% of all business travelers, maybe 95%, were sidelined immediately, and yet business went on. Right? We continued to make sales. We continued to get product out the door. We continued to build trust with accounts and build culture inside of our companies. And so once I got past the shock, how quickly things kind of, really withered, I got to thinking about why were we traveling that much in the first place? And what are the really good reasons? Why do we need to travel, particularly today, which we did not have this luxury 20 years ago, of really the much better, much more capable and effective digital substitutes for travel? So that's really been the focus of my thinking for the last probably 18 months is really to try to understand, when is business travel appropriate? When is it justifiable? How can we recognize when it's right to use this, what is becoming kind of a more scarce and certainly, I think, a more valuable resource to achieve our business goals?
Well, and I certainly appreciate your willingness to be honest about that. And we're going to get back around to this point of reconsidering when is it appropriate and justifiable to travel. But I think if there's anything that is truly the mark of a thought leader in a given area, it's that you're willing to be objective about the area that you work in. You could just as easily be here with me today saying, nope, Zoom is bad. Everybody needs to get back in airplanes and trains and rental cars and go, go, go again. But despite how long you've been in this space, you're able to look at it and truly rethink, okay, things have changed. Maybe this is an inflection point beyond simply handling the pandemic. And I'm sure that part of that thinking was what caused you to write the article that I had actually reached out to you about and that we will link to on today's episode page, which is talking about what you're calling the dawn of TAAS, or travel as a strategy. So for people that haven't read the piece yet, can you tell me a little bit, even just at a high level, about what travel as a strategy means?
Sure. So I think the pandemic has really forced us to think about a whole host of problems that have a very common element to it. And that is, who needs to be involved in solving the problem? And how do we get those people together? Do we want to do, the Zoom call? Great, that could work. Or do we want to kind of up the ante a little bit and get people in the same room? Is it really worthwhile to do that? So what occurs to me, what I believe, what I'm promoting as the next paradigm for viewing how to manage the business travel category, is that executives will begin to realize that their use of travel is a strategic choice. They can be very intentional about how they want to use travel to achieve broader, more important, more strategically valuable goals. The simplest example is win revenue, right? That's a strategically important goal to just about every company out there. And you can think about the question of, well, how should we be using travel to further our achievement of that goal? I guarantee you some companies have and will continue to minimize their use of travel. They will default to using, the digital substitute. Others will take a very opposite view, and they'll say, hey, we want to be in the room building those relationships in person, and we're going to outflank our competitors. So you can just see from that example, there's a pretty stark strategic choice of how a senior executive team views the role of travel in achieving a strategic goal. So that's the basis for the paradigm of thinking about, travel is a strategic choice, and how should we be incorporating it into our, into the mission of achieving our strategically important goals.
Well, I like your phrase use of travel. It's a very subtle difference in words, that we're not just talking about, business traveling or how many trips or how much spend or something like that. But when you look at it as a strategy to be used, how does it change the way we think about not only how do we apply travel as an approach, but also what are we trying to achieve? And that's one of the things that you write about in the article. You actually talk about historically, travel was predominantly driven by internal objectives, or I would even add assumptions. We all assume, a team that is this spread out should get together X times a year. And nobody questions it because that's how things have always been done. When the choices got harder about how to, to use your phrase, how to use travel, things like overall corporate objectives, employee retention, well-being, supply chain resilience, or fragility, right? Depending on the exact supply chain we're talking about. What do you think the changes that we've seen in terms of applying that new mindset around use of travel? What would you say are some of the biggest changes that you have seen companies start to act on?
Yeah, so the biggest change that companies have acted on is an adjustment, even a commitment, to spending far less on business travel. Now, by no means I would say, have most companies reach that conclusion. But there are many and some really big ones that have taken that position, that they are intentionally going to reduce the amount they spend on business travel by, pick a number, 30%, 50%, 70%. They've kind of learned to believe that it's possible. And not just possible, but frankly, I'm sure they thought this through very carefully, and they must have concluded that it's actually more valuable to them to not be traveling that much. And so to me, that's just really fascinating. But I can guarantee you the majority of companies have not yet thought about travel that deeply. They are still kind of testing the waters and trying to figure out what's the right amount of travel for their organization, given their competitive set and, you know, their own goals. It's not easy. It's not an easy strategic decision to take, but I am fascinated by those companies that have kind of grasped the nettle in their hand and said, this is the way we're going to go. And we're going to go with a much, much lower volume of business travel. And they have their reasons for believing that's the right direction for them.
Now, given how much traveling and therefore travel spending was pulled back, I mean, there was a time we were probably about as close to zero as you would ever get with something like this. Do you think even those companies that have made the commitment to deliberately reduce their spend over time, is it more about as they ramp back up, they're going to hit a point that's, let's go with your 30%, right? They hit the point that's 30% less than what they used to spend. Or have you seen companies that have actually kind of already gone back enough to where they're continuing to make decisions to scale back versus capping how they grow and return to business travel?
Yeah, I think it's too early to know for sure. The patterns are just, you know, a little noisy. My sense is that companies are much more open to figuring this out, that there's less of a position to be held tightly that, oh, we have to get back to what we were doing in terms of travel volumes to our 2019 levels, or we can only do 70% of what we did in 2019. I think there's a lot of curiosity and kind of looking for, you know, for outcomes that should indicate, hey, we're succeeding by traveling a lot less, or hey, we're not succeeding by traveling a lot less and we actually need to increase it. And just editorially, I think that's a really fascinating question for your audience. How can you begin to tell whether or not your organization is traveling enough, too much, or too little? What are the signals? It's not clear, is it?
No, it's not. And even beyond that, when you go to the individual traveler level, you will have some people that are chomping at the bit to get back on an airplane and go somewhere.
Yes.
And you have other people that have now looked at the world through very different eyes for the last 2 years and are saying, I'm never going to travel for business again. And if I have to, I'm going to go work at a different company. So it's about that overall level of travel and what the policies are that guide it. But also on an individual level, which roles truly do require travel in order to be successful? And which can you say, you know what, Zoom is good enough. You can get it done with Zoom and that's fine. But there's an awful lot of things that have to be rethought on a number of different levels. And as you said, you know, another great way to put it, the signals are noisy. I think it's going to be a while before things truly settle down and we get a consensus of where companies are going to fall.
Yeah, that's for sure. Just a little color commentary for your audience that may be wondering about some data points. I talk to a lot of road warriors just by, you know, my network is full of them. And I'm often asking them the question, so, you know, once COVID gets behind us, we feel comfortable and safe. Do you plan to travel as much as you used to? Or, you know, what are your thoughts? And I have yet to speak to any road warrior that has said, I plan to travel more than I did. And many have said, I plan to travel a lot less. Yeah. So I take that as an indication that overall, if I had to guess, we're going to generally see a significant reduction in the volumes of business travel on a steady state basis, whenever we realize that steady state. But I think it's just going to be a significantly smaller amount of trips being taken for business travel.
And so clearly, you know, given that we're probably going to go through a number of phases on the return to whatever the next normal, I guess some people are calling it, is going to be, right? There's not going to be a switch flip where we say, oh, it's March 1st, 2022. Now we're going to go to whatever our new level of business travel is going to be. There are going to be iterations and there will be steps forward and steps back, mm-hmm. you know, as different conditions change in parts of the country or are affected differently. What advice would you give to either companies at the highest level or procurement and travel managers that have specific category ownership that are currently rethinking or rethinking what their business travel policies or strategies should be?
Yeah, so at least two things to address on that. One is the absolute imperative need to connect the business travel category to strategically important goals. And so that really requires the category manager to go ask, and oftentimes I'm afraid it may be for the first time, ask senior executives, what are the strategically important goals that travel can influence? And just a couple of compare and contrast. One is carbon emissions versus, say, win revenue. So companies are facing goals on both those dimensions, and the travel category manager should be fully aware as to what the priority is between those two. You could put a third one in there, and that is the retention of our road warriors. Those people have unique skills and talents and relationships built up over many years that kind of justify keeping them on the road at a pretty high expense. What's the company's goal relative to that really important population in their employee workforce? If they want to retain those people or have easier access to recruiting those types, they're going to need some travel policies that may be very different from what the company has today. And so that's the other part, and that is, how do you shape your travel policies to be aligned with what these important goals are relative to road warriors? And I think that will be a big change for a lot of category managers.
And it's a huge challenge that links to something else we're seeing right now, which is, I mean, I don't know if you've observed the same thing in your work network, but the number of open positions that I regularly see go by where people are almost desperately trying to fill these spots. I don't think any company wants to make an unforced policy change. Let me put it that way. An unforced policy change that ends up making it more difficult for them to retain key talent. And so it's this very delicate balance, as you pointed out. You know, these folks have really important experience and relationships and knowledge, and we need to keep them, while at the same time coming up with travel policies that can be generalized enough to apply to most people in the company. Because we sure as heck don't want to create a disincentive for people to keep working for our company in the case of the road warriors.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll riff on that, because that's been a central theme when I've really taught a lot of people to appreciate the importance of traveler friction, which is just the accumulated wear and tear of a lot of trips. Companies, and particularly those cold-hearted, steely-eyed procurement people out there who are have been so focused on cost and price and savings, you know, for whatever reasons, I'll just challenge them right here. You need to wake up and really think hard about what your new KPIs need to be. And I'm telling you, flat out, for just about any company out there, it is no longer cost or savings. It can't be. What it needs to be is things like the targeted retention rate of our road warriors, or even better, what's the average success rate from travelers that take trips? First, very few companies are even asking their travelers to rate the success of their meetings that they traveled for. But that, I think, is likely to come. But the point is that cost is just, it needs to be deprioritized as a KPI for procurement. Procurement needs to be much more strategically intentional about how to shape a travel policy in order to achieve these bigger goals. And again, just a specific example, cabin policy. So companies typically want to save money by asking or making their travelers fly in coach. That's just ludicrous anymore. So that's an example where a really thoughtful and strategically oriented procurement category manager would challenge that policy and say, hey, if our more important goal is keeping these valuable road warriors, maybe we need to change our policy to allow, you know, premium economy or business class for those who are traveling a lot, or even for everyone for that matter. So sorry for that riff, but that's one of those things that I'm keen to get off my chest in just about any of these types of conversations.
No, and point well taken. And while I certainly would not be so bold as to say that procurement has all been reformed and costs and savings are never going to be an issue in the future, I will tell you that in many categories, we have learned over the last 2 years that everything is now an HR concern. Mm. I traditionally think the best example anybody gave me along the way was talking about janitorial services. That was always more of a location-based, cost-driven service, right? Do you meet the specs? Do you have the staff? Maybe there's some type of specialized cleaning requirement. Do you meet all of our requirements? Are you cost effective? Good, then we sign you. But now there's the additional complexity that, do our employees feel safe coming to work based on how clean they perceive our facility to be?
Yes.
If it's a customer-based location, do our customers feel safe based on the perception of how clean our place is? It's not even about how clean it is. Does it communicate on its own behalf that the facility is a safe place to be or to shop or to work or to spend time or to breathe air? And so now something that used to be relatively cost-driven is an HR concern. And it sounds like business travel, you know, at this point, it's really more the exception of categories that do not have an HR element to them. It sounds, though, like business travel is one of the categories that we probably always should have been thinking about in that way.
Yeah.
But I think your point is a valid one, and it's well taken, and I hope it's one of the lessons that we truly do carry into the future from the experiences that we've had.
I fully agree, yes, and I think it will be. I think there's no question. In particular, perhaps the business travel category has been one of those that's on the front line in terms of how it's been impacted by the health and safety concerns from COVID. And I think those lessons will be, you know, embedded in how the category is managed going forward.
Now, we've talked about road warriors a bunch, and I want to pivot. This is actually one of the questions that I get the most feedback around, that it's sort of like a podcast Rorschach test. People like hearing all the different responses that I get to this question. So switching from road warriors to heroes, I will give you a choice, Scott. How would you define either what it means to be a sourcing hero, or how would you explain the meaning of heroism in a larger business context?
Yeah, let's start with the latter. I think, you know, a good definition of heroism is overcoming your fear in order to do the right thing. And translating that into the procurement context and what it means to be a sourcing hero, I would like to think of a sourcing hero as someone who can recognize that cost and savings and discount are no longer valuable metrics of success, that they were just measuring maybe the right thing in the past, but no longer the right thing, that there are bigger, more important, strategically valuable goals, and that the category needs to be linked to those goals and measured in a way that's consistent with those beliefs. So back to the example of, you know, perhaps a category manager saying to themselves, what would happen if management suddenly came in and told me that I could no longer report savings as a metric? How then would I show value as a procurement manager in this category? Well, they'd be forced to look at, how does business travel help us achieve our other goals? How is it impacting our road warrior retention rate? How is it impacting, you know, our close rate on best and final meetings? I mean, you can just imagine looking well past the traditional metrics in most travel category dashboards and really expanding the value, the quest for value that is out there to be had. And to me, a hero, sourcing hero, is the person that will take that bit between their teeth and say, I'm going to dump the cost, the traditional cost and savings and discounts, who cares? And I'm going to replace them with these clearly much more valuable metrics. And that's what we're going to build our program around. To me, that's a sourcing hero in the business travel category.
Well, and I think we're going to have to stand the test of time, right? Because now we're all still very much focused on this. And Scott, I will be as interested as you to see in a year or 2 years or 5 years, you know, has the pendulum swung back and are we that completely focused on cost and savings again? Or have we managed to sustain some of these more value-oriented, objective-oriented goals that we really do need to bring into our procurement work if we want to make sure that our results are truly aligned with what the business ultimately needs from us? You know, again, going back to your example of employee retention, I don't think that's something that a lot of procurement professionals spend a lot of time thinking about. But clearly, there's an opportunity for us to impact that. And maybe what we needed to be shown was why it mattered and how our work had the ability to affect it. We will see, right? Hopefully this sort of jars us into a new trajectory and opens us to a whole new world of KPIs and performance metrics. For people that have listened into today's conversation and are interested in reading more of your work or continuing to learn from you going forward, what is the best way for them to get in touch?
Sure. LinkedIn, obviously, is a great one. Welcome all connections there. But I would point them to my company's website, tclara.com. That's T-C-L-A-R-A.com, where you'll quickly find a tab on insights and ideas. And that page has a lot of what we've discussed. They'll also see a page for a travel strategy test, and where they can assess the maturity or strength of their own existing travel strategy. So I would encourage them to take a look at that and be delighted, Kelly, to talk with anyone in your audience about these issues. It's a fascinating time for business travel for sure. And it's as you said, it is at an inflection point.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Sourcing Hero podcast. Join us again next time for more true stories of sourcing and business heroism performed by your colleagues and peers. Look for The Sourcing Hero wherever you get your podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe. Finally, don't forget, sourcing heroism is taking place all around us every day. Keep your eyes open and you're bound to see it. Until next time, I'm your host, Kelly Barner. Stay well, and always remember that you can be a hero too.